From Quality Radio Productions, it's the Upstate Radio Theater. I'm Jake Longwell with another hour of old-time radio. First up on the program today, Suspense, episode 547 in this long-running thriller anthology series from CBS. From April 12th of 1954, Broderick Crawford starring in Parole to Panic.
Autolite and its 98,000 dealers bring you Mr. Broderick Crawford in tonight's presentation of
Suspense. Tonight, Autolite presents the story of a man whose welcome home party promised little gaiety and many tears, and surely his death. It's called Parole to Panic. Our star, Mr. Broderick Crawford.
This is Harlow Wilcox reminding you that there's no time like right now to enter the giant Autolite family charity drawing. $100,000 in cash is waiting to be distributed to the recognized local or national charities chosen by the 25 persons selected in this great event. You may be one of those persons. To enter is as simple as printing your name and address. Listen to this on-the-spot interview with a woman in Connecticut.
Hello, I'm Bob Emmerich. What's your name?
Mrs. Allen Gulliver.
I understand that you signed up for this drawing. You're here at this Autolite family car dealer, Salvatore Brothers. Is that right?
That's right.
Did you find it difficult?
Absolutely not. I signed my name and address on a registration form, and that was it.
Was there any obligation of any sort?
None whatsoever.
I see. Well, thank you very, very much, Miss Gulliver.
Thank you.
So, friends, visit any or all of these Autolite family car showrooms. DeSoto, Hudson, Plymouth, Studebaker, Dodge, Willis, Nash, Packard, Kaiser, or Chrysler. Sign up tomorrow.
And now, Autolite presents transcribed Mr. Broderick Crawford in Parole to Panic, hoping once again to keep you in suspense.
Outside.
Yeah.
Pretty good, huh?
Not bad. Not bad at all.
Enjoy it.
Hmm?
What I mean is, don't come back here. It's a pretty good life out there.
I won't be back. 2 years is enough for me.
Taking the train to town?
No, I don't think so. My wife's supposed to pick me up if she can borrow a car.
Well, good luck. It's not going to be easy for you.
Yeah, I know.
If there's anything I can do, if you need someone to talk to, advice, you know.
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Warden. Thanks for seeing me to the door.
I like you, Paul. Don't let me down.
I won't.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, sir.
Paul! Paul! Over here, Paul!
Jenny!
Oh, Paul, Paul.
Oh, darling.
Oh, did I keep you waiting long?
No, only a couple of seconds.
I was so afraid to drive fast. This is our car, you know.
Our car?
I bought it yesterday. It's for you.
Oh, sort of a coming out present, huh?
Don't joke, Paul. Don't ever joke about being in prison.
Well, what do you want me to do, cry?
No. Because that's what I know you're doing when you joke about it.
Come on, let's sit in the car. I still feel kind of funny about all this space to move around in.
All right. Slide in on this side. You drive.
Okay. Where'd you get the money to buy a car?
I only had to make the down payment on it. We'll manage the rest.
I'll manage the rest.
What?
Oh, I don't know if this is the time to talk about it, but I'm going to have to find a job. Can't have you taking care of me, you know.
Oh, that's all taken care of.
It is?
Yes. I told my boss what you knew about fixing radios and what you'd done while you were in the Army, and he arranged a job for you at the plant.
Did you tell him where I'd been for the past 2 years?
Yes, Paul.
Oh. I don't know how I ever got mixed up with that gang, Jenny.
Let's not talk about it.
Too bad the district attorney didn't get them all while he was at it.
It's over, dear. Let's forget it. There are other things to think about now.
Jenny.
Yes?
I love you, Jenny. I love you very much.
I'm so glad, dear.
Shall we go home now?
Yes, let's. Tired?
No, I feel great.
Do you realize you've driven all the way from that place in only 2 hours?
Well, it's not me, Jenny. It's the equipment. You got a real good deal here.
Mr. Miller found it for me.
Does he still have the same store?
Yes, why?
Well, I've got to see him right now.
After you report to the parole officer.
No. He said I had to report to him before I went home, but he didn't say anything about seeing Mr. Miller.
But Paul...
Oh, now, don't worry. It'll only take a minute or two.
Well... All right, but only a minute or two. You promise?
Yeah, I promise.
Up this afternoon. Yes, he'll deliver you a fresh dozen eggs. Good. Yes. Good. Yes. Goodbye, Mrs. Gordon. And what can I... Paul! Jenny!
How are you, Mr. Miller?
Well, Paul, it's good to see you. Well, you look fine.
I feel fine, too. I just dropped by to thank you for taking care of Jenny while I was gone. You know, the groceries and...
Not another word, Paul. You and Jenny are like my own. Besides, as soon as Jenny got a job, she paid me back.
Well, anyway, thanks.
Now, let me look at you. You're a good boy, Paul. Everything will be happy again.
Yeah, sure it will. Tell Roger I was here and I'll see him later, will you?
Tell him yourself.
What?
He's here, in the back room. Roger!
Never mind. I'll go back there.
All right.
I won't be long, darling.
Good.
Hi, Roger.
Oh, Paul. Come on in. Well, it's good to see you, Paul.
Yeah, it's good to be here, too.
When'd you get back?
I just drove into town.
I'm sorry I couldn't do better for you at the trial.
Oh, you did fine. I don't know what would have happened to me if you hadn't defended me. Look... As soon as I get some money and a job, I'll pay you.
Oh, relax. No hurry. Paul?
Yeah?
Have you talked to anyone since you got back? I mean, outside of Pa and me.
Oh, no, I just told you. I just drove into town. Why?
Well, you know the DA didn't get the whole gang when they lowered the boom.
Yeah, sure, I know that.
Well, there's a rumor going around that they're waiting for you when you get out.
Why? What have I done?
They say you turned state's evidence.
But I didn't. I only told them the truth about what I knew.
I know that, but they don't.
All right, then, I'll tell them.
You're not going to have a chance to do it.
Why not?
Understand, this is only what I've heard through the grapevine. But I hear they're going to shoot first and then ask questions.
Well, then what am I going to do?
I don't know.
Maybe I can get somebody to take a message for me.
Paul.
What?
Paul, they won't believe anything you say.
Why not?
Because they don't want to believe you. They're looking for a pigeon.
Oh, and I'm it, huh?
You're it.
You think I ought to leave town?
Why don't you go to the police? They put you under protective custody.
What am I going to tell them?
Just what I told you that I heard.
No, Roger. If the police followed every crackpot rumor they heard, they'd run themselves ragged.
But this isn't a crackpot rumor.
They don't know that.
No, but
we
know...
I'm going to get out of town. Jenny's got enough money to keep us going for a while.
Well... Keep in touch. If you need anything, just let me know.
Yeah, sure, I will. Thanks.
Sorry, I can't help more.
Well, there's nothing more you can do, Roger. So long.
Bye.
Where are we going?
Home, to pack.
Well, what for?
We're leaving town.
Why? Why are we leaving town?
Well, they're after me.
Why, who's after you?
The rest of the gang.
Well, what did you do?
I told the truth in court. They call it ratting, singing, squealing. Just take your choice.
Oh, who told you all this?
Roger Miller.
But what about your job?
I can't keep it if I'm dead.
Oh, there must be something we can do.
Yeah, there is, and we're doing it. We're getting out.
Look, Paula, are you sure about all this?
I'm not going to wait for a bullet to make me certain.
Well, all right, if you think it's best.
I can't take the chance that I could be wrong. This happened so quickly that I got to get out of town, even if it's just so I can think clearly.
Do they know you're back in town?
No, I don't think so. That's why we better hurry.
Well, where out of town are we going?
I don't know. All I know is I'd better get out if I want to stay alive. I've got to get the overnight bag filled here. Let me see. This is it, I guess. What else do you need?
Well, I'm all set here. How about your clothes?
Oh, I don't know if they still fit, but I pack wetsuits look to be in shape. You ready?
Yes. Oh, are you sure, Paul? Are you sure Roger was right? He could be wrong.
Yeah, sure, he could be, but... Hello?
Hello, Paul.
Who is this?
You're gonna die today, Paul.
Who was it?
They know, Jenny. They know I'm back in town. I'll be right back. Mr. Miller.
Oh, well, what is it? You look so...
Where's Roger?
He went to court. He has a case today. Why?
Doesn't make any difference. Look, Mr. Miller, do you have a gun?
A gun? Yes, I have a gun, but I...
All right,
don't...
give it to me.
What?
I need a gun, Mr. Miller. Please let me have it.
You don't know what you're doing, Paul. A gun? I'm sorry, but
Mr.
I can't...
Mr. Miller, please, it's my life. I gotta have a gun.
But why?
I haven't got time to explain now. Ask Roger when he gets back. He'll tell you all about it.
I have a permit. He'll want to know where you...
It'll be all right. Just give me the gun, please. I gotta hurry.
You say Roger will tell
you? Yeah, he'll tell you. Please, Mr. Miller, hurry.
Well, all right. Here, Paul. I'm doing a wrong thing, but if Roger says it... Be careful, Paul.
Yeah, I will.
Why did you have to stop there?
I had to get something.
What?
A gun.
Oh, Paul, you're on parole. If they catch you with a gun...
They won't catch me. As soon as we're out of town, I'm going to ditch it.
Oh, Paul, isn't there a chance Roger might have been wrong? Maybe they've forgotten about you.
No, not with that telephone call I got just before. Jenny.
Yes, Paul?
We're being followed.
How do you know?
I know. Watch when we go around the corner. Watch that blue sedan about a half a block in back. See him?
No, there they are.
All right, now watch the next corner. Well, Jenny?
Yes. They're following us, Paul.
Autolite is bringing you Mr. Broderick Crawford with Paula Winslow in Parole to Panic, tonight's presentation in radio's outstanding theater of thrills, Suspense.
Now, we'd like you to hear a recording of another on-the-spot interview in connection with the Autolite family charity drawing. This time with a policeman in Bronxville, New York.
And what is your name, officer?
Patrolman James Morris of the Bronxville Police Department.
I understand that you signed up for the Autolite family charity drawing.
That's right.
Uh-huh. And should your name be selected, how would you care to designate the money?
I would split it three ways. Cancer Fund, Heart Fund, and Bronxville PBA.
Very fine. And may I wish you good luck.
Thank you very much.
Why don't you help your favorite local or national charity, too? It won't cost you a cent, and you have an opportunity to be among the 25 persons selected. Remember, there's nothing to try or buy, nothing to write or solve. All you do is visit any Autolite family car dealer showroom and fill out a registration form. So why not visit any one or all of these car dealers? DeSoto, Hudson, Plymouth, Studebaker, Dodge, Willis, Nash, Packard, Kaiser, or Chrysler. There's not much time left, so sign up tomorrow.
And now, Autolite brings back to our Hollywood soundstage Mr. Broderick Crawford with Paula Winslow in Elliot Lewis's presentation of Parole to Panic, a tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
Oh, Jenny?
They're still following us.
What are they doing? Torturing me? If they follow us this closely, they can catch us anytime they want to.
Oh, go to the police, Paul. Don't be afraid.
I'm not afraid of the police. It's what's in back of us that I'm afraid of.
Well, then let the police take care of them.
Don't you see? If I go to the station and stop the car, they'll blast before I get to the front door. That's why they're following us so closely.
But they'd have to be crazy.
Yeah, they are crazy. But if I stop, I'll be dead and they'll still be crazy. No. No, we gotta lose them. Then we'll figure out something. You see them?
No.
Good. I think we lost them this time.
What do we do now?
Well, we're almost out of gas. We better stop.
Well, all right. But
But what?
Oh, call the police. Tell them what's happened.
I intend to, Jenny. This is pretty open country. I guess we better stop at the first station we see. I'll telephone while they're filling the tank.
Well, I'm starting to feel a little better.
Yeah, so am I.
Oh, Paul, there's a station.
Yeah, I see it.
What'll it be?
Fill her up, will you?
Right, sir.
Say, you got change for a quarter?
Yeah, I think so. Here. Help yourself.
Okay. 10, 20, 25. Here's your quarter.
Just drop it.
Right. Say, where's the phone?
Back to the station.
Thanks a lot. Operator. Operator, I want the police. Yes, my name is...
Paul! Paul, they just drove past. I think they saw the car.
What?
They're stopping down the road.
Come on.
14 already, mister. I don't think she'll take much more.
Hey, Jenny! Jenny, they're turning around.
Hey, mister, you didn't wait for... Hey, what are you trying to pull? Hey!
How'd they find us? How?
I don't know.
Oh, Jenny.
Jenny,
what? Listen to me.
What is it?
This car isn't fast enough to stay away from.
Well, then what'll we do?
I'm going to turn in the first side road we come to, and then you're getting out.
No, I won't do it.
You got to. I can't.
I'm not getting out of the car.
Jenny, they'll kill you, too.
I don't care. I've been away from you long enough.
All right, then we'll keep going.
Do you know where we are?
Yeah. Yeah, there's no way we can get back to town from here.
It'll be dark soon.
I know that.
Maybe we can get away then.
Catch up to us before dark. They can catch us anytime they want to.
Paul, do you know where we are?
I told you before, Jenny.
No. I mean, you remember the cabin where we spent a weekend, the first winter we were married?
Yeah, why?
Well, it was on a road that turned off this one, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I'm not sure. We got that cabin from one of the boys, do you remember?
Yes, but it's better than sitting in the car and waiting for them.
Okay, let's go. You remember where the side road was?
Well, it pretty soon now, I... Just past a bridge, I think.
Oh, Jenny, I hope you're right.
Oh, I do too, Paul. I do too.
It's locked.
I don't have a key.
All right, I'll kick it in.
Hurry, Paul. I hear them.
Yeah, so do I. Step back, Jenny. All right, stay away from the windows. There's enough light yet for him to shoot. Let's push this table against the door. Come on.
Okay.
Here they are. Okay, Jenny. You stand over there. As soon as they come up the steps, I'm going to start shooting.
Maybe they're afraid.
No, they couldn't be. Because they know I am.
What are they waiting for?
I don't know. I haven't even gotten out of the car yet.
Do they know you have a gun?
I don't know. I don't think so. I wish they'd do something.
Paul.
What? Wait. Wait a minute. They're on their way.
Paul.
What?
There's a telephone in the cabin.
Where?
I think it's in that cabinet on your left.
Okay. Yeah, here it is. Hello? Hello? Hello, operator. It's disconnected.
Did you say it was disconnected?
Either that or they just cut the wire. Yeah, that's what happened. One of them just cut the wires.
Where are they going?
I don't know.
Maybe they changed their minds, huh?
No, I doubt it.
Well, then why would they drive away?
Well, they didn't go far.
But why did they go at all?
They're not sure whether I got a gun or not. If I have one, they know they're asking for it if they rush the cabin.
How long can we stay here?
Jenny, we're leaving now.
But you said they're just down the road.
We're going to leave on foot.
What?
Tell me. Can you walk much in those shoes you got on?
But yes, the heels are pretty low. Why?
All right. We'll head into the woods. Go east as far as we can. We'll sleep out in the open tonight. Then we'll head for the first house we see when daylight hits.
All right, Paul.
I'm going to go out first. You follow me in a couple of seconds.
Yes.
Now help me with this table in front of the door. I don't want to slide it.
All right.
It looks clear. A few seconds, Jenny, remember that. Then follow me.
I will.
Suck at me, Jenny. They had a guy planted out there.
Oh, you're bleeding, Paul.
Yeah, I'm hurt. I'm hurt bad.
We gotta try to stop the bleeding.
Try all you want to. I don't think you can do it.
But we've got to try.
Yeah, they're back to pick up the body. They're sure gonna be disappointed, aren't they?
Oh, Paul, I'm frightened. I don't know what to do, and I don't know how to help you.
Just stay close to me, Jenny. Stay close. I'll think of something.
Paul?
Yeah, Jenny?
Are you...
Yeah. Yeah, I'm still bleeding.
Let me talk to them. They'll listen to me. I'm a woman. You've got to get a doctor.
No, Jenny. That's what they want. Don't you understand? They want me to die, and I'm going to.
Don't say that, Paul. Don't say
it's
that.
It's true, Jenny. It's true, but... Well, I'm not going to die alone.
What are you going to do?
They haven't gotten out of the car since they came back. That means they're all together. Well, I still got 4 slugs left in the gun. I'm going to use them. Get back, Jenny. I gotta break this window. You out there. Why don't you come in and get me? All right. All right, I'll come out and get you.
Take it easy. You're going to be fine.
Who are you?
Police.
Jenny. Where's Jenny?
Here I am, darling.
When did they get here?
Just after you came out shooting.
How did you find me?
Roger Miller called us after you got the gun from his father.
But how did you know where to look?
You left the receiver off the hook in the service station. There, we checked all the side roads looking for a big gasoline stain where you might have turned off the main road.
Gasoline?
The attendant was still pumping gas into your car when you drove away. He never got the chance to replace the cap on your tank.
Oh. We'll pick it up some other time. Won't we, Jenny?
Yes, Paul. We'll pick it up some other time.
Suspense. Presented by Autolite. Tonight's star, Mr. Broderick Crawford. Suspense is transcribed and directed by Elliot Lewis, with music composed by Lucian Morowick and conducted by Lud Gluskin. The role to Panic was written for Suspense by Ross Murray. In tonight's story, Paula Winslow was heard as Jenny. Featured in the cast were Joseph Kearns, Junius Matthews, Hi Averbeck, and Barney Phillips.
Broderick Crawford may soon be seen co-starring with Gregory Peck in the 20th Century Fox picture, Night People.
And remember, next week, Mr. Richard Widmark in The Card Game.
This is the CBS Radio Network.
Suspense, program 547 in the series, Parole to Panic, from April 12th, 1954. It's the Upstate Radio Theater, an hour of old-time radio. I'm Jake Longwell. If you want to get in touch, our email address is qualityradioproductions@gmail.com. And our blog and website contains much more info about the show, as well as streaming audio of full-length episodes. qualityradioproductions.blogspot.com. This is program number 1906. We'll conclude the hour with some science fiction, and an episode of one of the earliest radio series that I know of to deal strictly in sci-fi, 2000 Plus, a syndicated series from 1950. We'll hear episode 24 in that series, released for syndication on September 27th of that year. Here is The Green Thing.
Adventures in the world of tomorrow. Dramatic stories of science fiction from the years beyond 2000 AD. Today, the story of a horrible nightmare that wouldn't stop even when the dreamer woke up. A story called The Green Thing. It is the year 2000 plus 175. It is late evening, and all is peaceful and quiet in Dr. Harvey Glunden's sanitarium. Outside, on the vast estate that stretches away from the main building, There are only the soft country noises, the wind sighing in the trees, the shrill chirpings of innumerable crickets. In the well-furnished rooms, the patients sleep, stretched out on comfortable mattresses and clean white sheets, the country breezes straying over their forms. In room 32B, Mr. Summers sleeps peacefully with his head on a fluffy pillow. He sleeps and he dreams.
Help me! Help me! Please!
Of the growing psychological problems facing our nation, the government has sent me to you, Dr. Glendon, to enlist your aid, since you're the country's outstanding psychiatrist.
Well, I'm honored indeed, Mr. Carley. But I don't know that there's much I can tell you about the advancement of psychiatric research that isn't being published in the medical journals.
Well, Dr. Glendon, isn't there anything that you're working on now, something definite? I know you're a cautious scholar, but...
Look, Mr. Carling, it isn't possible to announce sweeping new generalizations in our kind of science. Our work is painstaking, complex, highly subjective. You take the case of one of the patients here in the sanitarium. Oh, Betty, will you bring our records of Mr. Summers?
Oh, yes, Dr. Glennon, just one moment.
Summers is about 40, 41. He was admitted 5 months ago, suffering from a melancholia.
Here are the records, Doctor.
Oh, thanks, Betty. Now, as you can see from these notations, he's been feeling much better the past few weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I see.
Until last night, when he suddenly woke up screaming in his bed. He was being attacked, he shouted, by some sort of green devil. We had the hardest job getting him under control. Now, in the past, Summers had spoken quite often of a green hat that he lost as a child. His father, he remembered, had punished him severely for losing it. In later life...
Mr. Glendon... This is all very interesting, but you can hardly call this dream analysis anything new.
Yes, it has been known for centuries.
Well, then I don't understand...
Mr. Carling, I know why you came to see me. Apparently, I haven't been able to keep my achievement as secret as I'd hoped.
That's right, sir. We've heard rumors.
All right, Mr. Carling. I've said that Mr. Summers' dream is very unusual. Now, would you like to see it?
You mean... See his dream?
Exactly. I'm going to show you a motion picture of Mr. Summers' dream. Photographed from the subconscious mind, exactly as he dreamed it. I attach special nerve electrodes, and these electrodes pick up the current impulses of the brain. Then these impulses are transmuted back into pictures on the film of the machine. Really very similar to the method of wireless photography.
Here's Mr. Summers' dream reel, Doctor.
Oh, fine. Thank you, Eddie. The projecto tube is ready, so I just place the dream reel in it. And there. Hold on to your hat, Mr. Carling. You're going to see an actual dream.
Yes, yes, very well, Mr. Clauber. Three slices of lemon drops will do. He thinks I don't see him putting the pennies in his pocket when he knows they belong to me.
Three slices of lemon drops it is, little boy.
I'm not a little boy, Clauber, and you know it. I'm all grown up, and I don't come to your store anymore. I don't even live here anymore, and you steal pennies.
All right, get out now, little boy. Take your lemon drops and get out. Get out!
Music. I didn't know Clauber had music in his store. I don't like his music. I'll slam his door. I'll go out in the street. Now there won't be any more penny-stealing music. Well, what's that? It won't go away. It won't go away.
Summers, I am calling you.
What's that?
It's not Clauber.
It's a monster with great pink eyes on long stalks. It's standing in front of me. It has claws.
You're not the little boy anymore, Summers.
Oh, no, don't touch me with your claws.
Come with me now, Summers. You are mine. You belong to me.
No. You're touching me. Don't help me. Help me, please.
Betty got to him at that moment, and the dream machine shut off.
Phew, some dream. What effect will the discovery of this dream machine have on psychiatric research, Dr. Glendon?
Well, I've only just perfected it about 4 or 5 months ago. We've got perhaps 40 or 50 photographed dreams in our files.
40 or 50?
Yeah. However, as far as developing new techniques and treatment, it may be years before I can get them analyzed and correlated so that overall theories can be drawn from them.
As long as that?
So now you understand, Mr. Carling, why it's a little difficult for me to answer your questions.
That dream was fascinating. I've never seen anything like it. Doctor, I know I'm presuming on your time, but I'd like to see just one more. I'll have to report on these at the government bureau.
Well, only one more, though. I'm sorry, but I'm quite busy.
What about this one here? The purple tag. What's that for?
Why, I haven't seen that one myself yet. The purple tag means it's from the violent ward. Mr. Rolfe. Sick man. Well, we'll try it. All set? It's a difficult case. Homicidal tendencies. Comes from a good family. Was a very successful businessman.
Name. Can you do anything for him?
Oh, I think so. There are times when he can be reached, lucid moments. And some of his dreams provide clues. Here, see?
To me now, 74. That'll show him. 74, 70. You're not frightening me. I don't believe you. You can't scare me. Oh, no, no. Don't touch me. Your claws, your green claws. Oh, your green claws.
Doctor, look. On the screen. Look, there it is again. That green thing. No. It can't be. It's impossible. Two people can't possibly have the same dream. I don't understand it, Betty. I can't understand it. I've been through all the records of both of them, Summers and Rolfe. There's nothing in their background that would cause them to have the same dream. Are you sure they haven't been together at some time?
I'm positive, Doctor. They haven't even met. Mr. Rolfe came here only a month ago, and he was placed in the violent ward immediately. He's never been out of it.
It's possible for people to have similar dreams, yes, but never to dream of the same unusual, horrible, specific subject as that green thing. Every detail was the same. The pink eyes, the claws. Makes me shudder myself. Betty, I want our dream reels, all those I haven't seen.
Oh, now, you're not going to view them all. It would take you...
I don't care how long it takes. I want to see them all. I've got a funny feeling inside, and I won't be at ease until I know, until I'm sure.
Sure of what, Dr. Glendon?
Sure that none of the other patients have had that dream. That same horrible dream of that green thing.
Dream 9, Mrs. Dorbin. Shall I put the sound on?
Oh, no, not necessary. We can see it if it appears. No, nothing here.
Dream 10, Miss Farnham.
No, nothing.
I don't think we'll find anything, Doctor. It must have been a freak, a coincidence.
Keep going.
Dream 11, Mr. Craig.
Dream 21.
Nothing there either.
Dream 22. Maybe you're right, Betty. I'm beginning to think myself...
Dr. Glendon! Dr. Glendon, look! There it is!
A green thing!
Dream 42, Mr. Bradley.
Turn off the sound! Turn it off! That's it again. A green thing. Four of them, Carling. Four dreams of that monstrous green thing.
Each one from a different patient?
And each one during the past week. Carling, there's something there. Something to make even a psychiatrist feel frightened. ¶¶
Darling, the patients weren't having a dream. They couldn't be. They had nothing in common but the fact that they're in this sanitarium. Why, even the nature of their illnesses are different.
Doctor, aren't you getting a little mixed up yourself?
Huh?
You saw those dreams. I saw them. Betty saw them. I know it's incredible.
Listen,
but
to have a dream means that you create that dream. You and nobody else.
You mean you think the patients didn't create those dreams? They're not their dreams?
There is such a thing as thought projection.
Mental telepathy?
Yeah.
Why should anyone want
to... Someone may have found out about the dream machine. Maybe jealousy or grudge or a hatred of psychiatry in general. There are many reasons. Well, what we've got to do is to find out where it's coming from. The patients must be protected.
How?
First, we've got to find out whether this telepathy is coming from inside or outside the sanitarium. Then we've got to track it down. I tell you, Carly, whoever's trying this terror by mental telepathy isn't going to get away with it. I'm not going to stand by while a lifetime's work is destroyed by a campaign of terror against my patients. I'm going to institute protective measures at once.
Anything yet, Doctor?
Oh, I still have the Garda screen beamed on the area directly around the main building. I don't expect to find anything so close, but I want to search every inch of the grounds.
You still feel whoever it is on the grounds?
Can't be sure of anything, except that I'm convinced that the staff is loyal, and I have a hunch that whoever is transmitting these thought waves will want to be close enough to judge the results.
Shall I bring the patients down now, Dr. Brendan?
Oh, yes, Betty. Go get them, will you, please? It's just possible that they may be able to help us. They may have felt currents emanating from a certain direction.
Mm. I think the Garda screen has reached its range limit, Doctor. It's repeating itself.
Mm. All right, I'll give it wider focus. I'm going into the grounds now.
Wait, there's something. A figure on the screen.
Yeah, I see him.
He's carrying a club, a stick or something. Who is it, Doctor? Can you tell?
I don't want to alarm him. I'll signal the patrol corps.
Let me. It's that red button on the wall, isn't it?
Oh, no calling. Never mind. That is one of the patrol corps. I can see his armband.
Too bad.
Well, I'll switch the machine to the north fringe.
There's another figure. Is that... It isn't...
We seem to be well guarded. Another member of the patrol corps. Well, let's hope the patients will be able to...
Here's
help.
Betty.
Doctor.
She's alone.
Betty, where are the patients?
They're gone, Doctor.
What?
They've disappeared. And a fifth patient has just begun screaming in his room, the green thing, the green thing. Four, all accounted for, Doctor. The four that are missing would make 68. That's how many patients we have.
I checked the nurses, 8 besides Betty. They're all here.
And the patrol corps have checked the rest of the staff, and no one has left the grounds except the 4 patients.
Unless somebody got in and carried them off.
No. No jet mobiles and no jet ships have been in the vicinity between the time the patients were last reported and now. The patrol corps will vouch for that.
There's the village.
Linfield. Oh, it's the only village for 100 miles, but it's a backwoods country village, a quaint place, never kept up with the times. Now, I doubt that they have any jet mobiles in Linfield, much less jet ships.
But you can arrange for transportation there, can't you?
The inn? Why, that's where they go. Why didn't I think of that before? It's the center of the village, the gossip spot. If the patients entered town at all, news of them would spread to the inn. Better, you take charge here. Carling and I are going to Linfield.
How long will you be gone, Doctor?
Until we find them. They're no longer alive.
Sorry, I can't help you none, Doctor. I ain't seen no strangers, spoke to no strangers, you heard of no strangers.
Well, how about transportation, jetmobiles or jet ships?
Ain't put in any calls for jetmobile service nigh on to 2 months. Not since Miss Jennings busted her leg and we had to send her to the hospital in the city.
Oh.
Jet ships? Why, Last time one of them flaming monsters landed here, we nearly had a riot in Linfield. Darn fools all thought was invasion from Mars.
Just ran a wild goose chase, Doctor.
Yeah, so it seems. Well, thanks anyhow, Mr. Barker. You've been very helpful.
Haunts, he says. The blasted idiot believes in haunts.
Yes, I do. Everyone knows there's ghosts, everyone.
Idiot, there's no such thing as ghosts.
There are ghosts. There are ghosts in every village and town.
Quiet down, you boys. You'll be getting right into bad reputation now.
Hey, there's the doctor. Dr. Glendon talking to Mr. Barker. I put it up to him now. What'd you say, Doc? There's no such thing as haunts, ghosts, either now. Hey, you tell my ignorant friend.
I wasn't listening very carefully. But if it's ghosts you're talking about, there's never been any scientific evidence that they exist.
Haunts don't exist. That's what you're trying to say, ain't it, Doc?
That's right. Well, come on, Carling. Let's get out of here.
Hey, ain't no ghosts. This Doc's an educated man. He knows.
Yeah? Then suppose you tell me what that green thing was floating around down near the caves. And we ain't the only one who's seen it. Right, boys?
A green thing? Where? What are these caves?
Right down the river. Why, Doc? You ain't going there. It's nighttime now.
Carling, will you risk it?
I've got my ray gun.
But Doc, you're crazy. I'm telling you, there's a haunt. Why, there ain't a man in this whole village go with you tonight.
Well, if it's only a ghost, you needn't worry. But if we're not out of those caves by dawn, you better come for us. It won't be a ghost that's holding us. This must be the right cave, Carling. It's the only one with a brush trampled down in front of it.
Eerie as a tomb in here.
Shh, quiet. I don't hear anything.
Well, they just don't want to be taken by surprise. Have to be as quiet as possible. All right, come on. Hey, what's that? Carling, where are you? Carling, are you all right?
Oh, it's coming for me. The green thing, it's gone. It's terrible.
No, there's nothing there. You're on the floor of the cave, but there's no one near you, nothing. Boy, he's asleep. He's having the dream. That same dream.
The green thing.
Come on, Carling, come on, snap out of it, Carling. It's only a dream. Only a dream.
It's coming.
I feel dizzy. Tired. What's the matter with me? I'm falling asleep. No, I won't. I won't hurt myself. Dr. Glendon.
The green thing.
Did you conquer me, Dr. Glendon?
I can't be. Standing over me, the pink eyes and long stalks, the claws, the green thing.
Into this rough chamber. And you, Mr. Carling, don't worry. You won't fall. My will is controlling you.
My patience. Over there in the corner. Rolf, Bradley, Summers, Gordon. Now, what have you done to them? Summers, are you all right? Bradley, this is Dr. Glendon, your doctor. What's the matter with them? Gardner, Bradley.
Nothing is the matter with them. They just don't understand you anymore. They are attuned only to Venusian thought waves.
Venusians? You're from the planet Venus?
That is right. For a long time, we have been observing your Earth, your resources, and your remarkable technology. But we did not know how to conquer you, for we of Venus have no strength or physical dexterity, only mental power.
You shouldn't have told me that. I'm going to beat that horrible body of yours to a pulpy green mess.
You hit only air, didn't you? I'm growing tired of this game. Stop. I will that your arms obey me and not you.
I can't move them. Colin, help me!
Do not be foolish again, and I will return their motion.
You hypnotized my patients the same way, didn't you? Are those dreams...
A little more complicated than what you earthlings call hypnosis. But it is mind control. I have come to Earth to prove to my planet that this is the way to conquer your Earth. We will control the minds of its inhabitants and thereby control their strength, their physical dexterity. I began on your patients first because their minds are more easily controlled.
What do you want of them?
Their bodies. They can perform physical acts that I cannot. With their bodies, we Venusians can continue our investigation of your planet at close range. And we can also study the structure of the Earthling when I bring them back with me.
Bring them back? To Venus?
Do not worry, my dear doctor. I shall not separate them from you. I will also take you and your companion with me to Venus as rare prizes. Earthling, bind these two men.
No. No, don't do it, man. I'm your friend, your doctor. No, let me go. Let me go. Colin, you shot him. You shot the monster.
Forgot about me. Maybe he didn't know the Earthlings had weapons, too. Like ray guns.
Well, why doesn't he fall? He's still standing.
Did you really think you could hurt me with that? Your death rays have no effect on my body. Drop your weapon. Find them, men.
I'll shoot them. I'll kill you, slave!
But... You cannot. But if you could, I would not care. There are millions more to choose from. You can kill yourselves, too. You are replaceable. Except to yourselves. You are trapped. Your only escape is... death.
They're crumbling. The explosion of your ray gun, Carling. You've loosened the rocks. It's a cave-in. We'll be buried alive. The corridor, quick.
To the corridor.
Grab the patients before the green thing controls us again. They can follow us. It's our only chance.
There's the mouth of the cave.
Hurry, Doctor. It's blocked. The rocks have fallen here, too.
There's one big one just at the mouth. If we can move that one, I think we can make it.
All right, help me, Doctor. I'll get the patients, too. All right, come on, then. Here. Pull. You go first, Doctor. Pull the patients after you.
All right. All right, I'm out. Now, Rolf, come on. That's it. All right, Bradley, you next. Come on. That's the way. All right, you, Summers.
Hurry, Doctor.
Quick, now, come on. All right, Gardner, quick. You, all right. It's all right there. All right, now you, Carling.
I can make it.
Help.
Good.
Help me. Earthlings. I cannot escape.
Scamp. He can't squeeze through. He has no physical strength.
Earthlings. Come to me.
Patience. They're going to him. He still has power over them. Come on, Carling, quick. Before they release him, help me shove this rock over the opening. Come on, quick.
No.
There he goes. Thank goodness. Hey, what's that? Look out, step back!
It collapsed. The entire cave fell in.
Just in time.
Yes, Carling. In time to save Earth from the horror of the green things.
Next week, an incredible story about a man of science who dared tamper with the secret of human life. Be sure to listen to That Which Lived in a Head of Steel. 2000 Plus is produced by Dreyer and Winolson Productions, Incorporated. In today's cast, Lon Clark played Glendon, Joseph Julian was Carling, Hester Sondergaard was Miss Connors, Gilbert Mack was Rolf, John Griggs was Summers, and Henry Norell was the Green Thing. The script was written by Edgar Marvin. The music was composed by Elliot Jacoby. The orchestra conducted by Emerson Buckley. Sound, Walt Schaber and Adrian Penner. Engineer, Bob Albrecht. This is Ken Marvin.
Classic science fiction from 2000 plus. The Green Thing, a syndicated broadcast from September 27th, 1950. That does it for this hour of Old Time Radio. I'm Jake Longwell. Thank you, as always, for your company. The Upstate Radio Theater is distributed by Quality Radio Productions.